Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thanks. We bless you. We glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your truth and thank you. Father, now we receive revelation and wisdom. This new study series that we're starting. All the honor. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that takes and guides us, teaches us, and ministers to us. Give you the glory and the honor in the name of the Lord. Amen. Okay, I'll be starting a new study series that I gave about 20 years ago. What happened with Job and why that title? Many of you were here with me or started the church. We're on 11th Street and G Avenue. And I had finished a study series. In the form of a question. Test of God or test of the devil? Remember what I spoke right now? Right there. I spoke very differently there. Well, if you remember, when I finished that study series, well, I want to say, if you remember that study series, Test of the Devil, where I showed how God does not test us with wrongdoing. But when I just finished that study series, right on, and on that same Sunday, there was no platform. We just had a pulpit, an acrylic pulpit that I still have today, similar to the one right there. And the first person that came to me was Sister Raquel Ruiz, if some of you remember her. She's with the Lord now. And she told me like this, Pastor, and what happened with Job? And she told me, because some Christians that I know, I've been speaking to them about what I've been learning about test of God or test of the devil. But then they'll ask me the same thing. And what happened with Job? And that's where the title came from. And what happened with Job? Was. Now let's talk about Job here. I want to see it from this perspective. Look at what we're not going to do. We're not going to make fun of Job. We're not going to criticize Job. We're not going to judge Job. And we're not going to judge too many brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that when they go through issues, they compare themselves with. My point is to instruct, teach, and to bring clarity and understanding. There are some things that we have to learn. This is the title for today. When you go through tests and trials, don't compare yourself with Job. Don't compare yourself with Job. Because many Christians do that. If you compare yourself with Job, you won't use your authority that you now have in Jesus Christ. You won't seek wisdom from God. So why is it that Job did or spoke? Because he did not live under covenant. He did not live under the new covenant. So let's see something here. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And verse 6. Now these things become our example. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Speaking about here, about Moses and the people of Israel. Context here. When the Lord brought them through the hand of Moses out of Egypt. And they did things revealed here. Nevertheless, we could say this now. Now these things become our examples to the intent that we can say, we can act, in this case, as Job spoke. And in verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples. 11, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as it is common to men. As to say, everything that happens to us is in natural realm. It can be caused by wrong decisions from our part, by decisions from the devil. It could be a combination of the devil in our own decisions that we share with him, as to say, we give place to the devil. But going back, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way, and this is a wrong interpretation of this, will also make the way of escape of temptation. As if to say that God gives you the test, the temptation, and then the way out. So as if God punches you and he gives you a bandage or something like that. So as to say, when the temptation comes, God will give you the way out. Job could have been given a quicker way out, but what happened? Job spent a long time speaking cursing and what was happening to him. And he limited God. See that right now. But will also make thee a way of escape, that you may also bear it. Now, that idea in mind, let's go see what happened to Brother Job. That are listening and watching through radio and TV, many Catholics refer to him as the Holy Hope, as to say that only in the evangelicals can go through issues and those compare themselves to Job. But many Catholics who listen also say, I'm like Holy Hope, where they refer to Job as holy. And he was holy in the sense, the correct sense of the Bible, the sense that he was a fearful man of God, and he took himself away from evil. But he's not holy in the sense that he's now under the new covenant like we are. Now, with that understanding, let's go back to Job. Don't get rushed in trying to finish a chapter. We're not going to do that here. We're going to go step by step. And we're depending on the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can speak and indicate to us and help us. You guys can help me too. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. No one knows, 100% knows, where Job was. I'd like to go to the Bible, but it's irrelevant right now, because I can show you give or take where he was. But if we put him in the time of today, some historians believe that where it is now between the Jordan and where all those countries are, Jordan, Syria, and somewhere like that, all those Arab nations now. It's irrelevant. What I'm trying to say is the Bible mentions some things here in Genesis, Lamentations, but that's not going to help us here. I'm just going to apply the spiritual. That'll help us here. But notice this, a man that was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. The word blameless here, or perfect, doesn't mean as in he didn't commit any errors or any mistakes, but it's merely someone who seeked God, as to say these attributes were perfect and upright before the eyes of God. What can we learn here about God? What can we learn from Job in this case? To be like him, to be blameless and perfect and upright, and to shun evil. And nowadays, now that we have the Holy Spirit, which can help us. Verse 2, and 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, wow, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. According to some historians, I say according because some of you lived in that time? No, right? So I don't know. According to some historians, they believe that Job and what was written here was, be it a little bit before the time of Abraham, or after between Abraham and Isaac? Same. I could show same reason why here in the Bible, but I'm not going to go there. I want to center more on the spiritual, what applies to us. But here's the important part here as to why I'm saying all of this. Job did not live in the time of the law. As to say, he did not live in the time of Moses. He lived way before the Mosaic law. Because the book of law, the book of Job, never mentions the law of God or the sacrifices of, or anything of the sort. It's that point is very important to understand, because that means that Job, first of all, obviously, did not live under the second covenant or in the New Testament in the time of the grace. And he did not live during the time of the Mosaic law. He lived many years before that. That means that Job is missing something. It's not criticizing him. This is just merely the time in which he was living. It's just something to understand with more revelation of the spiritual laws of God. And without knowing, due to ignorance, he went against those laws, and more consequences. Spoke things in his own bitterness and his own desperation. Notice this. Verse 4. And his sons, which we just saw in verse 2, and his sons would go and feast in their houses, each one his appointed day, and would spend and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Notice how this was something that they would do. And we can learn from this as well. Go to Job 13, verse 1-13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. I don't know if you noticed this, but it was something that they would do often. What can we learn from this? That in verse 4, that his sons would go and feast in their houses, each one on their appointed day, and would invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. What's the issue? Is there an issue with eating and drinking? No. The issue is that we can learn from this is that God does not have spiritual grandchildren. Or I'll say it like this. God does not have grandchildren. He has children. As to say, if I have a relationship with God, I have to teach my children that they need to develop their own relationship with God. Then, remember, what are we doing? We're studying, correct? And to study, we learn. And when we learn, we're learning things, perhaps new. And if they're not new, perhaps we're learning things that before we did not understand, and now we do. You understand that? Continuing with what I'm going to say, as to say, if I have a relationship with God, like Job did, but his children don't, that means that now it's responsibility. Remember, we're going to be learning how to apply things. It's our responsibility to teach our children, not to command them. Command is do what I told you to do. Teach, instruct is do what you see that I do. That's a good leader, actually. Teaching with example.
Amen.
Amen. Job was a hardworking man, an industrial man. Industrious. Would produce, he would work. We can see that here. But his children didn't. And nowadays in society, there's something. Either be it that the parents did not show that to their children. Parents did not work. They weren't industrious, hardworking. Or they were, the parents were, but they didn't instruct it in their children. And listen to what I'm going to say. Observe the times that we are in right now. Times that we're living in right now in this society. From here going forward, society will get worse. Society is going to get farther and farther away from God. So, what are we going to do? We're going to continue the example of Job for good. Because if you're going to compare yourself with Job, I'm going to get ahead on what you should compare yourself with. And then I'll continue. Are you ready? You should compare yourself with Job only in persevering in difficult times. When there's difficult times, persevere. And in that is what we should focus and compare ourselves in. Don't lose your spot where we're in. Go to James, chapter 5, that I came. It's this. Notice what verse 7 says. We're going to start on verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren. We're going to read from verse 7 to verse 11. James 5, 7 to 11. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Persevere, patience, continue. God, continue. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, or persevere until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts for the coming, verse 8, we could say, persevere, exercise perseverance, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And verse 9, notice verse 7, therefore, brethren, he didn't say people of the world, he said brethren. He didn't say, therefore, pagans, but did he say brethren? Verse 9, therefore, brethren, to the children of God, so he's speaking to the body of Christ, do not grumble against one another, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Again, verse 10. My brethren. Notice how he says, my pagans. Notice how he doesn't say, my people of the world. My brethren. Take the prophets. Spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Again, one more time, patience or perseverance. A better translation. Verse 11, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Talking about those who endure persecution. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Glory to God. So in difficult times, we have to persevere. We have to continue. How many of you has the Lord spoken to, has instructed you, have seen things that perhaps you didn't? With the news, God is my source. There, one of the sessions, I'm going to talk about true faith against false faith. And other sessions, I'm going to talk about how God is our source of wisdom to deal with our family. From our families, first of all, wife, husband, children, and then father, mother, sisters, aunts, uncles, etc. The point where I've learned from it as well, from just studying and praying over it. And eventually you'll see the result. Haven't you ever told the Father in prayer, oh Lord, 5, 10, 15, I see things now in the Bible that before didn't. Now I say, man, my personal life and my ministry, yours as well, don't look at me with those eyes, with those ears. But you see how the Lord is merciful and He will restore, especially if we do things, because we just don't know. We had a certain light or revelation. But from there, we'll go from glory to glory. Amen. I said amen. Now, verse 4, going back to Job. So, what are we going to compare ourselves with Job? What? In perseverance. In persevering in difficult times. Glory to God. But don't compare with the bad. Don't say, oh, well, I'm here suffering, Brother Hughes. I'm like Job. Because you won't exercise your authority, because Job didn't understand authority either, because Jesus hadn't come yet. Amen. You'll speak cursing, and those spiritual laws have been there since God is God. So in Job 1:4, and his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his own appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. For some reason, it says that Job was a fearful, upright, blameless person for God. I saw that in verse 1. But for some reason, he hadn't influenced his children. Or his children, at a certain point, they forgot. Influence from their either one of those two, because the looks of it, his children, I'm going by what the Bible says, by what some scholars say that I respect, a few scholars that I follow that I respect, where their children, they say that their children were not God fearing and they lived before the law. The word here in verse 4, they would go and feast. It could be translated as just eating, perhaps in a party. It could also be translated, look, mark my words, it could possibly refer to something more, such as perhaps an orgy, an excess. They did not live under the law. They lived before. There was no law. Possible that they did more than just feasting between brothers and sisters. Because there was no law. And all of that would give place to the devil. And Job would perceive something. It's because the issue is you can perceive something or see something from your children. Literally see their acting. Or see something here in the spirit and not do anything. Not correct. And let those things happen and happen. I'm talking about these things because we can learn from them. We'll learn how these things apply to us. Or ignore the promptings of the Spirit. Many children now at 8 years old, they give them a phone. 9 years old. They don't even know what their children are watching. Watching pornography. Or things that you just should not see at their age. I can assure you, and again, I'm going to say this. I'm not condemning anyone. But I can assure you. If you're much more sensible to the voice of God. And these things have to seek purpose. The Spirit of the Lord will give you certain promptings or signs, certain hints here. As you say, oh, you know what? I have to check my son's phone. Perhaps put a parental lock, something that blocks things. Or as to say, hey, you know what? You don't have an age. Amen. Amen. My children don't. Facebook or things, and the things that my children does have, just to promote his business and the promote things here of the ministry. But he has to take. Because Job did something here. Again, we're going to be seeing things here. Don't look at it with a critical eye. Just let's observe what Job did so we don't do it. Verse 5, so it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. Why would he sanctify them? And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of each one of them all. For Job said constantly, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. But he did it out of fear. And he never did anything. I assume that his children already were adults. They didn't live with him anymore. But he knew what they would do. But even if your children were adults, don't you think that you can pray and have the wisdom to say, son, sit down and pray? Because look, if you pray in the spirit and you prepare yourself, you will no longer judge in your intellect, but you will go under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And your words will go out with authority. Authority doesn't mean screaming, yelling. You didn't have to yell. When I say authority in the spiritual world, words will catch, will impact. They will establish spiritually speaking. And if that moment you don't see a change, believe me, those words are working inside of him or her. But you have to pray. Don't go in your own abilities. Don't go in your own intellect. What does the Bible say? Not without sword or an army, but with his Holy Spirit. Job, we're not judging him. We're just seeing what he didn't do or how he gave place to the it says, it may be that my sons have sinned. It was like Joseph, if there was no law. But when you have a relationship with God, yet your conscience, in their own mind, I can't say their spirit because they weren't born again yet, but he had that relationship with God where he could say, what my children are doing is correct. Just to remember, go to Genesis 39. And is how we're barely on verse 4. Genesis 39. Story of Joseph. How the wife of Potiphar wanted to sleep. I'm going to read the whole story. From 7 to 9, Genesis 39, 7 through 9. And it came to pass after these things that his wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, said, lie with me. You know what? Lie with me. Now just sleep here, tuck yourself in, and go to sleep. Verse 8, but he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what it is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How are you going to sin if there was no law to say what is right and what is wrong? But Joseph, Job as well, were fearful of God, and they shunned evil. And God would guide them more through their conscience. Well, you and I have a greater advantage than them, glory to God, because we have a conscience connected with our spirit, which is born again. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God, glory to God. How much more then? But notice the fear here. Job 1:5. Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. When you see something and understand and perceive, don't be fearful. Confront it. Again, confronting doesn't mean fight. Confronting, many times, will be correction of love. Say, let's talk. God loves you. And God loves you much more. But I love you as your father. That I see that you're destroying. The devil would take advantage of this. Ask God in faith, Father, help me. You make an example. Make my heart pure for you. Help me hear your voice more. And if you consider that you did something wrong as a mother, just repent, truly. Repent before God. And God will give you a new opportunity and He will Hallelujah. I believe it. Weeks ago, I started telling you, God isn't mad. Because if you think God is mad at you, the first thing you're going to have a conscience of saying, oh, God is mad with me because I made a mistake and didn't do anything right. And you're not even going to pray anymore. And if you pray, there's no faith. So what happens here? Before continuing, Spirit is reminding me of something. Remember, all of us, some more, some before, some after, but all of us that are here in this sanctuary, if you notice, we're going towards aging more. Actually, if you want to live a long life, you have to get old. We're not getting younger. We can perhaps retract some of the effects of aging with the word, but we are all aging all at once. And I see all of this in society as Christians. Parents were at a young, mature age, and their children were small, and the parents would start guiding their children. But those parents, we start maturing and walking toward adult, elding age, chronologically speaking. And our children now, they start taking that place of our youth. For example, Anthony has the same age that Nubia had when we got married. Anthony is 20 years old, and that's the age that Nubia got married. You notice how now, talking about a similar age, how Anthony and Nubia age at that time. Now Nubia is in another age, another level of her life, physically speaking. And Anthony has the same age that she had when Anthony was conceived or born. He was conceived in a womb that was 20. There's a point that I'm trying to make here. Am I going good? When Anthony was born, Nubia was 21 years old. Anthony is headed towards that age. And here's now, over time, Nubia and I will be much older, of course, and Anthony will be in the age that Nubia is now and later, years later, that I now have right now. But I will be, of course, older. But here's the issue. People have the idea in the world, and many Christians, that when you see a person, old, adult, someone who isn't, we call them very wise. That right? That's how I hear, oh yeah. Well, my uncle, grandfather, who's much older, he's very wise. Well, I'm sorry, I want to correct this, but it's not true. If they don't have the word of God, they're not wise. They could be wise. Now, let's clarify what wise is. If it's a person who all their life has worked in agriculture, he could give you perhaps some advice on how to plant, fertilizer, seeds, what type of grass, anything that has to do with cultivating. Good. If you're going to clarify like that. That sense, yes. But I'm talking in general, in life, they could give you some good advice in the natural. But if all that wisdom is going to give you truly is the Word of God. The Word of God that we use, that we apply, that we put to work. So, here's what I've seen. Those parents at one time guided their children are now going to a much higher, elder age, and their children are already at this point married. And those parents are not just parents now, they're grandparents. But now their parents are now their children are guiding them. The issue is their children are not very wise in the ways of God. Where's Alex? What is my goal? What is Nubia and our and my what is our goal here? To reach but still be continuing and guiding our children. Our spiritual children. Of course, they have to develop their faith, their relationship with God, develop their own wisdom. But by the time that I reach double the age that I have right now, I'll have experience because I've used the wisdom of God. And what happens with some parents? I'm talking parents, children of God, believers, years listening the word, listening to the word. Over time, they let themselves be guided by their children, and their children are cold. They're apathetic to the things of God. Their children spend more time in any other area, less in church, less in serving God. You know what happens? Those type of parents, yeah, they'll go to heaven, they'll be with Jesus. But they won't end their life the same. Let's get ahead a little bit here. Book of Job. I don't know, but the more I see the word, the more I study it, the more I want to reach this point. Verse 36, chapter 36. Chapter 36. 10, 11, 12. Perhaps some of you thought that at this point we would already finish chapter 1. But there's a lot of meat. Job 36. Verse 10, 11, and 12. He also opens their ear to instruction. What does this sound like to hear? To give direction from God and commands that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve Him, has to say, serving God is good. If they obey and serve Him, but you have to hear first, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Joy. Now, help me with the new internet.
Anthony, do you have the new international version? Okay, thank you. So, you, para que traduzcas de ahí. Si ellos le obedecen y le sirven,
if they obey and serve Him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment.
So, eventualmente,
so eventually, and this goes for everyone, but eventually, I want to end my years serving God in joy, but I also want to continue a pillar where God can also speak to my children and to my grandchildren, to Nubia and I. Not that I will be the only source that God will speak to them. Again, they have to develop their own relationship with God. But perhaps what mother and father will teach them and grandchildren, children, God will confirm things to them, or things that they perhaps can't see yet or understand, God will confirm to them, and they will establish. My brothers and sisters, millions of Christians do not see this. They think this way. Brothers and sisters, if you thought this, repent. They say, well, I've done my part. Well, they're old now, I've done my part. They're old now, they've left. Get those words out of your mouth. I've done my part. No, you haven't. We do our part. We just do it in the love of God. And we do it in love for our children. I won't say amen. But for that, we need the wisdom of God. And that's what this is about. Yeah, I did my part. And I'll tell you this because glory to God, I was able to hear the time. But there were Christians. Many Christians would tell me when my children were young, well, yeah, look, Pastor, look, Brother Hugh. Even people of the world, they would catch my attention because people of the world here would tell me the same thing that Christians would tell me. Something isn't right. Someone told me, oh, well, once they're 18 years old, oh, well. And there were Christians that would tell me the same thing. But I saw with the word that something wasn't right. I went with the word where the word spoke about influencing your grandchildren. What's the good in serving God? I'll explain it. You can serve God and not take care of your children. That's what this is about. Because this is children, because I'm talking about Christians who will go do this, preach here, preach that. I'm talking about people who go out and preach and they go out of town for time. Children almost grow up by themselves or just with their mother, and their mother for some reason does not put authority the way that she's. But there are many situations, which is why I'm just mentioning without much detail. But the best, I'll talk about myself, the example that I followed by the grace. I've just done what God has told me to do. No more than that. That's why you can understand when I say I'm not competing with anyone. I'm not. When I compete with other ministries of how much we're outreaching and this and that. And I give reports to my faith partners because I want you to know where your money's going. The money that you give to the Lord. But I'm not competing with anyone. Because I could be winning the world and my children going to hell. The good in that. But I seeked the Lord to tell me how to take care of my children without neglecting them. And you can apply the same thing in your business, in your home, in everything. Starting here, using this saying, this point on, kneel before the Lord and seek His face. Seek Him. What I'm saying is you seek Him in any direction, in any decision you're going to make. Glory to God. So, seek that your goal be where you grow in age, and be an influence to your children and grandchildren. But you have to fill yourself with the word for that, because the Lord will use those words to their life. But your children, by themselves, when they have an issue or something, you don't even have to say, well, I want to help you. They'll come to you. They'll say, Dad, explain this to me. Mom, explain this to me. And I'm just saying, not just my children natural. It's very beautiful. When I know, I don't know all the details. Nobody doesn't tell me all the details. And that's fine, because I've asked her, you don't have to tell me everything. If there's something that the Lord can use you to take care of, you. But she has told me, hey, some of the youth, the girls in the youth, go to Nuvia. Some of the male youth have come to me and asked me some advice in certain areas. Word of God, and that's what I'm referring to. For more of the glory of the Lord. Now, he stayed in verse 5. So some of these things you know, but it's good for those people who don't. Verse 5. For Job said, out of fear. But the thing is, he wouldn't do anything. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus, Job did regularly or every day. Go to Proverbs 28, verse 21. And 1 John 4, 28. So, Proverbs 28, first. 28, 21. 18, 21. So Job would do this all every day.
1 John 4:18.
Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. That word torment just means suffering. Fear will make you suffer. Tell me with the English version. Because fear has torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love, the love of God. You have that idea that God is mad with me. Well, this will happen to you. You will walk in doubt, walk in fear, because you haven't been perfected or matured. As to say, God loves me. With my virtues, with my errors, with my mistakes, God loves me. And because I know that God loves me and I understand, I will seek His direction as to not continue making mistakes, because I don't want to bring this. Religion has told me, no, don't say that, that God is mad with you. Because then they'll say, oh, well, God isn't mad, so I can do the more. Sin. That's just an idea of. And perhaps there are some that see that. But if you understand how much God loves you, you say, I don't even want to sin. I don't even want to go against you, Lord, because I know that you love me and you love my children and my family. You love my church. Glory to God. All to the contrary. That's why God is my source. Speaking on true grace, I'll show you many things about true grace in you and a true faith will cause. If they're not causing them, it's not God. It's either because that person has not been born again or is too carnal, is too guided by their five senses and hardened their hearts. Any one of the two. Notice what happened with Job. Start seeing here. Job had what? Fear. Now, go to chapter 3. I'm going to get ahead a little bit myself. And something better. Job 3, verse 25. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded, what happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. But you don't want. Well, let's see if they hire me. Well, let's see if work starts going down. Well, let's see. And then you see it with your own eyes. Boom. Don't speak. Don't want to happen in your. Job spoke. Job would speak. Spiritual laws have been. Earth. The grace of God. Before the Moses.
Amen.
That there. Chapter 1. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to represent themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. Now let's understand. The children of God, no one, first covenant and after, was a child of God. Who is he referring to here? Those children of God were from Jesus Christ going forward. Notice. Don't lose your spot here. Understand all of this. Because perhaps you, someone in your family or family members or people or jobs are brothers in Christ, and you can explain this to them. And you can take notes. You can say, hey, look, you can see other points here. My pastor spoke. But also you teach them these points to them. And what? Romans 8:16. Second covenant. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So in Job, where it says that the children of God came, it's not talking about people, or human beings, actually. It's talking about angels. The angels of God, they came to represent themselves, or representing themselves before the Lord, the sons of God. Notice Job 38. How many Christians are there in the world? Millions. Millions who go through problems in the Job. Where God is testing me. How God tested Job. That's the other thing. Another thing that is not true. Another wrong understanding of this. The devil takes advantage of this. Job did not test God. Or God did not test Job. Or God did not permit things to happen to teach Job something. I say it in the love of God, because those ideas will keep you bound. Job 38. Explain this about the children of God. God speaking. Go to 38:1. Right, verse 1. Start advancing a little bit faster. Which is why I'm taking so much time explaining these things to our foundations. Chapters will.
Job
38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Notice how it's a question. I mean, you know, that question could have a good answer. You know who? The church. Ears. I'm not criticizing. It's true. The church. Let's see the New International Version. Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? The church for me. I'm not saying this to criticize, on the contrary, showing how many members of the body of Christ have clarity in their life. New Living Translation? Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant
words?
Say, the church. How many of you grew up or came this atmosphere, came to the Lord, heard all of this from brothers in Christ, perhaps preachers, the same? I can assure you that they said that's not because simply because of ignorance, but they said, God is testing us the same as Job, or God is testing us as He did Job to show us something. Thank you, brother. Someone said here. Here's another one right here. The same. About two. Now I say this not because I'm mad with these people. Not mad because these people told me this. They said out of ignorance, but it didn't help me, and neither did it to them. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now, verse 3. Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. And God started asking him, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Question is, he wasn't even born yet. Tell me if you have understanding. How many of you know that that applies to everyone who makes fun of God and say that the Bible is a lie? Those so-called experts that come out on the internet or podcasts or on television to make fun of the things of God and how they promote abortion and other things in other ungodly things, that there is no God. This question would be good to them, where God would appear to them and say, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Verse 6. To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? All the sons of God, as to say, the sons of God I just showed you right now. It's not talking about any human being. It's talking about the angels. How many of you can see that?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. ¿Lo puedes ver?
That.
Gracias, Señor. So mucha gente,
many people, God bless them, but they say, well, I'm here like Job. God is testing me. I remember one told an aunt of mine, sister of my father. I'm not criticizing her. She passed away. But it's just to show how people don't understand certain words, and the devil would take advantage of those words. Find them. He would say, something would happen. Well, God knows why he does the things and why he sends us these. And she wasn't an evangelical Christian. She was Catholic. Not judging or criticizing Catholics nor evangelical Christians, as I said. Talking about the ideas that we have give place to the devil. Actually, I love Catholic people that watch me, especially the majority who watch me on Telemax and television, on the internet, and on radios in New Mexico and here in Sonora and in Phoenix, and all the areas in television that we're at. Majority are Catholic. Least criticize me. Those who receive more, my critics are the ones, are the kind evangelical Christians. But I have nothing against them. You know what I do? You know what I do good? When I see all those criticisms and they sense terrible things, I say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what. Glory to God. The people from here, from Sonora, the towns, when they hear me, told me here, coming out of Circle K, he saw me, got out of there, and he said, he looked at me and he said, hey, are you the one that comes out on television? And I told him, yeah, how you know? And he said, well, because my mom watches you. And last time I was going to take her some groceries, and she told me, wait, my pastor's about to come out on television. And she went out, got her some coffee, some cookies. I said, well, tell your mom to give me some, to send some to her pastor. Wait, my pastor's about to come out. I said, oh, is she a Christian? No, she's Catholic. Sunday we go to Mass, but watch you on television. I said, well, give her a hug and a kiss. Glory to God. Now notice this here. I want you to notice this. Going back to chapter 1. The children of God came to represent themselves, and Satan came with them. How many of you know that Satan was an angel, fallen angel, but he was a cherub, and he rebelled against God? And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and says, and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking. Very misunderstood verse, which unfortunately the body of the church has twisted too much. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? Notice. Then the Lord said to him, have you considered my servant Job, as to say, well, you know, you're roaming the earth. Let's see who you're going to attack. Have you not considered attacking my servant Job? That's how the church has interpreted this verse. God would do that? So why do we say that God is testing us? Or God is causing this and that, and why is he causing these issues? Go to Matthew 7. That I came, glory to God. 7.
Verse
We'll read verse 7 to 11. Matthew 7, 7, 11. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. God is telling you this. Jesus is telling you this. Many Christians read this as, oh, ask. They read it like this in their minds. God bless them, but they read it like this. God is telling them, ask, and I will knock, and I will open whenever I feel like. It says, no, ask, and it will be given to you. Verse 8. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. What man, verse 9, talking about the human being, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone? Well, no one, right? I know there are went through had bad parents, but not everyone. Or if you ask for a fish, you will give him a serpent. No one. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So why do we say God is testing us with an illness? Why is it if you and I as parents would never harm our children, why would we think that God would do so? And millions of Christians, God bless them, millions of popelets and pastors, or any person who is an authority, preaches the word, they say God is testing us. God is teaching us something, not with evil. Of course, we can learn from evil, but it's not God teaching us or causing them. It was that everyone could say amen, glory to God. Perhaps some of you have a conscience that God is putting a test on you, but that's not the way. Oh, thank you, sister. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Don't say that. Many years that God tests us. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt himself, nor he does he himself tempt anyone. So many people would say, God bless them, but they'll be bound to sin. And they'll say, don't drink, it's sin. Forget that. You're just harming yourself. And the devil would take advantage to put an ulcer on your liver, or those who smoke would take advantage and put a cancer on you. But it's not God. But then they'll pass away from those illnesses and they say, God took them because he smoked. No, it's not God. It was your own decisions, or it was decisions of those people, and the devil took advantage to kill them. John 10:10, the Lord speaking about Satan, said the thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. Seeing this about Job. But for a moment, go to Luke 12. Like this? Very good, huh? In the study series, services are very good as well. Give glory to God for it, because your Father loves you, and there is abundance of word here by the grace of God. So Luke 12, Luke 12, 13 to 21. Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. 14. But he said to him, Man, as teacher is the Lord Jesus Christ, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Had to do with it, an inheritance had to do with money. And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. There are people who have taken this verse to say that you have to be poor your whole life and never advance in this. But no, it's not referring to that. Money is a tool. Actually, money will localize you. If you're a selfish person, you'll be a selfish person. If you're a generous person, you'll continue being. But this does not consist of that. Not talking about that. It's not talking about that God doesn't want us to have good things. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke of a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? But this rich man was a selfish man. You can be rich and generous. We saw that Job was very rich. And then we'll see how Satan killed his children and took everything from him. But repented, God restored him and gave him double. So as I said, there are people coming by multitudes to the Lord through the TV station. So how are we going to pay the TV? They charge. And we're in different places in many areas. Saturday and Monday. That's what this is about, this abundance. Not consist of the abundance that we have in our life. Consist of the abundance that we give in the. Verse 18. So he said, I will do this. I will put down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my good hands. You notice how the world thinks like that? They're always just thinking about themselves, how when they'll retire, I don't know, just watch TV all day. And they just say, just to have a little bit of money, pay their house and buy food, and that's it. That's very selfish. You're just thinking about yourself. There's many people in the world, material and spiritual. First is spiritual. They need the gospel. In the middle of that, while people come and learn, we help them with food, with clothes. There's many organizations, churches that do it the other way around. They just give things to the world, and that's fine. They give to the poor, they help the poor, but the poor will always be poor, and we'll help them. But if you change it the other way around, first, if we put emphasis on the word, and we give them the word as well, we can also give them material possessions. He said, I will put down my barns and build greater. 19, and I will say to myself, soul, you have many good laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the world thinks the same. Just be a couch potato, watch TV. And it's weird because one time I was in someone's home and I had to go because I said, I'll visit you later because I was just wasting my time. He was on his couch. In one hand, he had the remote and just watching anything. And he'd change, go up and down. And on the other one, his phone. So how can you pay attention to three things, the television, the phone, and me? Man, because he just fight between his phone and his TV, just seeing who would keep attention to. So I just left. And if you're watching, if you're talking with someone, and they just, yes, of course, and just sending messages. So, okay, well, if you're busy, I'll go. Because it's not true, you're not going to pay full attention. Both. What do they say? It's because they say that they're multitaskers. Multifunctional or multitasking, which isn't true. No one is multitasking, truly. Look, if you're driving out of nowhere, you turn to grab something, although it's seconds, stop paying attention to the road. Or it's one thing or the other. Or when you're speaking with someone, then you can hear a whole bunch of noise because someone's doing something. Or someone would pay full attention when they would sit down. the person. Sometimes someone will call me, or they'll call me, and if you hear noise, it's called me at a wrong moment. I've got to finish this. Or I'll try to stop for and pay attention. If I truly can, I just say, hey, you know, how about I call you later? Paying attention to this, I've got to finish this. Especially if I'm giving, got to finish. I like to work. Haven't you noticed how in the mornings, how at 5 it's not as clear as it was before? So I set myself to where I don't work all day in the sun and the whole time there. I have other things to do. So for, especially in the ministry, I put myself to just work a couple hours in the morning. Early. That the morning can last. Do my thing and then I take care of my ministry. Calls and this. Recordings. Things like that. I've many talking with faith partners. Returning phone calls, etc., etc. But I have to limit myself to that time. That's what this is referring. But God told him, verse 20, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? That's what the world thinks. That they retire, barely pay their home. Oh, and when I retire, I barely retire and the house will be paid. But they don't think of the rest. They criticize if we talk about money, and they criticize us because many people go and spend things on nothing, and which will they'll later end up in the trash. How many of you have gone to the trash here in Douglas? And you've seen TVs there. It's true that some of them don't work anymore. Over time, you buy yourself another television. It's fine. No one's saying that's wrong. But why is it that if people understand that, they don't understand that the gospel costs money? Have you checked our webpage, our application, both applications, Word of Faith Ministry? Top quality. How do you think that that's taken care of? Then free. No one pays. When the government tells you that they'll give you this, this, and that, that it's going to be. Nothing is free. Someone pays. How many knows that something is paid? Government gave me this for free. Those people that cross illegally at the airport told me. I asked him, hey, so who pays all of this? And all of them, all smiling, Biden. Oh, Biden. And I had to explain to them, no, it's not Mr. Biden. It's us who pay taxes. The hotel that you're going to arrive at, shelter where you're going to arrive at, tickets for food, we pay them. You see all these people? If they work, every single one of them, there, not Biden. You learn something? That we're different than the person here. We're generous. We can eat, drink, rejoice, rest, and there's no issue in that, but be rich with God. Be rich for God. Be generous. If some of you are going to give, there are ways to do it. Ushers can give you an envelope. Ushers, please serve the people here. Some of you need an envelope. Ushers will give them to you. Raise your hand. There's also ways to give. Phone. Out of your heart, not obligation. But you don't have to do it out of obligation. You have to give in faith. Perhaps needs envelope. Please raise your hand. For those who gave through the internet, as you saw through the internet, and you were fed through the internet, it would be good. I said it would be good if you consider in responding to the word that was given to you. The Bible says, God, not be fooled. Everything that a man gives, they shall reap. As everyone stands, I'm going to refer to what the Bible said. Galatians.
enseñado a los Gálatas al volver al legalismo. Y Pablo estaba el apóstol, estaba molesto con ellos. Y le dijo,
that we're referring to the...
¿Cómo si dan a ellos y los alimentan a esos falsos maestros o maestros legalistas para que continúen sus ministerios y a los que te alimentamos con la gracia de Dios, con la fe, con la verdadera, con el verdadero evangelio, no siembras para que la palabra continúe? Es lo que le quiso decir a los Gálatas en toda esa historia. Amén.
Scolding
maestros falsos, por eso te acuerdas en el capítulo 3 que le dijo, ¿quién los volvió real
teachers
al legalismo? Entonces Pablo sigue escribiendo.
Godly one.
Cuando llega al 6 le estaba reclamando de que alimentaban o sembraban en los ministerios de esos maestros legalistas. Y no sembraban a
gente
que de verdad los estaba alimentando. Aleluya. Gloria a Dios. Pero nosotros hemos aprendido y seguimos aprendiendo a ser generosos en la obra de Dios, especialmente en aquellos que te alimentan. Amén. Gracias, Señor, porque todo esto va para evangelismo mundial y va alcanzando gente por radio, televisión, internet. Y gracias también a mis socios que hacen posible. Otros de ellos viven en otras ciudades.
Partners, other places.
Voy a orar por ustedes y luego vamos a adorar.
I'm gonna
para recibir nuestras ofrendas porque dar es un acto de adoración también. Amen.
Giving is also an act of worship.
Es un acto de adoración, es un acto del corazón, no es un acto de obligación. Dios no recibe nada por obligación. Dios recibe todo porque
never from obligation.
Y Dios recibe en fe. Si tú vas a dar algo, entonces Dios lo recibe y Dios va a multiplicar. Pero si vas a dar algo porque
he multiplies.
Oh, pues ni modo que no dé, el hermano que está a un lado de mí va a dar, la persona que está al otro lado de mí va a dar, el que está enfrente.
The one next to me give, or the one in front.
Olvídate.
And if the one I don't give, nobody's going to criticize.
Porque Dios no va a recibir.
Judge you. Christ won't receive that.
Reciba eso.
But we want God to receive.
Amén, porque hay bendición en
él. To bring a
amén. Para los críticos que, oh, vas a la iglesia y te sacan el dinero, pues ya ven que es mentira, porque no te andamos sacando el dinero.
They take your money. If we would say, if you don't give, God is going to, but not here. For those who have programs, make a pact so grandma can be saved. And I have believed.
Hace un tiempo atrás nos pusimos de acuerdo y le llamamos a nuestro pastor que está en Ohio y oró con nosotros y luego nosotros, mira, pero mira la diferencia, ¿ves? Hay una diferencia. Le mandamos una ofrenda a su ministerio y una ofrenda a él personal.
Offering to him.
Un hombre rico. No necesita. Es la cosa. No damos.
The business. Wealthy man.
No des por necesidad. Pero lo dimos porque en fe recibimos.
Because in faith, that prayer, like when we say, pray and in faith we receive. And out of thankfulness,
it's
sent an offering. To buy. But Renee is referring to, or other churches. They try to buy the salt by salvation. What you and Nubia did? No. Because we prayed, believe we received it. Ask for an offering. He said, in thankfulness, because we received this in faith, go toward that vision. Would bring the
Padre, te damos gracias por
thanks those who are going
to give. Te bendecimos, Señor, por
bless you.
Y gracias por aquellos que quieren dar
porque those who want to give their heart, they're thankful
pero
of you. But we also put in motion the laws. Below you, I call that seed.
Trae una cosecha
the fruit desired. And I release it, and I say, nothing is missing in their homes, that they have more than we love, because we also benefits kingdom. The word says that whomever sows reaps all that good reaping. Said the one who sows abundantly will abundantly reap, and that you give seed to those who want to sow. If someone here, church or an audience, says, I want to give, but they really don't have anything, seed to that person. That person, give you thanks. But one of the sisters in the wanted to sow. She asked for a loan to sow. Recommend to ask for a loan, but she wanted to sow. 20 pesos. She put 20 on her data. And now, lately, nobody made her. We don't even. Really thankful with the. But giving. $1 million for the ministry. Someone is going to give $1 million. There are partners outside who say, Pastor, I'm going to give you $1 million. And you're going to say, $1 million, that's a lot. Those people who give $100 and are crying all afternoon are not ready to receive. But if you're going to cry about it, don't give. You're not going to sleep because you gave $100. It's best not to give. Nothing. God is our source. Your source, my source, the ministry. That's how God works. I'm stimulating those. That guy. There's two or three. I'm that person. And I was like, if it was an auction, who gives more? And I said, one person. And now I have two or three partners. Write me down, Pastor. I'm believing the Lord for that. That's 3 or 4 million. And the minute we have them, we're going to start working. More people. Fit. Only Lord, in the name of Jesus, thanks for every family. Anyone needs healing in your body, this moment Jesus is going to heal you. He already healed you, but bring the manifestation. I cast out any pain in your body. Your back is healed. Your stomach, any bone pain, headaches, that fever is out of your body. By the, I speak peace in your home, the peace that overcomes all understanding, the peace of Jesus Christ. Any perverse action of demons, away in Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God is good. Victorious week. A week filled of favor. Or you're going to say, wow, I want to have time next Sunday to testify of this week. Good things are going to happen this week, and you are going to know that it's the favor of God in your lives. You're not going to glorify yourself. You're not going to take packet on your own, and you're going to say, it's God in me.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.